Lord, we thank you that you are present to us through all our struggle. So be with us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. My Christian journey began when I was 18. Little did I understand that the church I joined was shaped by fundamentalism. The way it understood faith was through the lens of certainty. Picture, if you will, that faith was like a barrel into which all the Bible stories and doctrines would be poured. Faith would then be the level of belief that you held and the degree of certainty by which you held those beliefs, all of which seemed in my life to fluctuate daily. It wasn't until years later that I came to understand that faith could be understood in a different way. That faith is more about connection. Picture, if you will, a cafe. A place where you go to meet a friend. Faith, from this perspective, looks more like the time and the opportunity we have to catch up with God. Even when nobody speaks and everyone sits there in silence, this kind of connection leads to transformation from the inside out. I didn't realize how much our reading of Scripture is influenced by the way in which we approach faith, especially this chapter from Matthew 10. Matthew 10 often plays an outsized role in communities where faith is understood to be about certainty. It becomes a source of anxiety and worry, but to communities for whom faith is about connection, Matthew 10 sounds different. It becomes a source of reassurance and hope. When faith is about certainty, the church, at least as I've experienced it, always seems to be filled with cowboys eager for conflict. They find satisfaction in calling out the world's spiritual blindness while confronting its sinfulness and enduring quite bravely all the persecution that then flows. When faith is about certainty, everything about Jesus, it seems, needs to be yelled from the rooftops. For the most faithful ones seem to speak with the loudest voices of all. When faith is about certainty, Christians seem to feel compelled to evangelize their neighbors constantly. You would see the truest Christians would be compelled to go into town to preach at passing shoppers. When faith is about certainty, everything seems to become a battleground where Christianity's unchanging truths need defense at every step. When faith is about certainty, division seems to become paramount, especially over matters concerning purity and gender roles and orderly households. Anyone who would seek to keep their career or tolerate other people's viewpoints or think that equality in marriage was important would often be viewed with suspicion, as though they were unworthy of Jesus himself. They would quickly find themselves abandoned, without mentors for leadership, and no one would look to them for any help or assistance. What I found most curious, living within communities where faith is about certainty, is how fear lurks behind everything. When certainty is central to the Christian life, People become fearful of themselves, of each other, and especially God. After all, God is said to be the one who can kill both soul and body in hell. So it seems odd to think that those who were the most persecuted and the loudest and most obnoxious witnesses around, those who seem to end unsuitable friendships, expose sin everywhere, and condemn corrupt churches, happen to be the most fearful of them all. Fear leaves a terrible legacy. The kind of legacy we see in Genesis 21 today. Our chapter opens with God coming good on his promise at last. Abraham and Sarah had tried to have a child for 25 years. But with the baby's arrival, Abraham rejoices and names him Isaac, the son of laughter. Because who wouldn't be filled with such joy after waiting so long? Only Sarah struggles to hear this laughter as joyful. She hears only mockery instead. All she could see was that son of Hagar, that Egyptian slave. You see, Sarah had grown impatient with God's slowness at giving her a son. So 14 years earlier, she tried to hurry God along a bit by giving her slave girl Hagar to her husband so that she might take Hagar's son as her own. So while Sarah was old, Hagar was young. Where Sarah was from the right family, Hagar was a captive. Although Sarah was infertile, Hagar bore Abraham a son. And while Sarah laughed at God's plan, Hagar had nothing to say about Sarah's ambitions. Because slaves are never asked. Just when it seemed that Hagar's grief would go unheard, God heard Hagar's heart. And so she called her son Ishmael, or God hears, a reminder that God's promise to this abused slave would be that she would become the seed of many offspring. And so as Ishmael grows, Hagar's scorn for Sarah deepens. Sarah's fear grows deeper still, to the point where she refuses to name or even recognize the eldest son born to Abraham. So when the teenaged Ishmael laughs at her three-year-old son Isaac, Sarah explodes with fury. Anger is often a smokescreen for something deeper. Maybe she saw how readily the established order could be overturned. Maybe she saw what her impatience might set in motion. And so Sarah begs Abraham to do the unthinkable. Cast out this slave with her son. Knowing full well that in the harsh wilderness, such action would mean not simply the loss of an inheritance or even shelter. It would mean certain death for the mother and the child, either from thirst, hunger, or exposure. Sarah was fearful of her rival, but she speaks only to Abraham because fear had narrowed her vision. Fear had hardened her heart. And while Abraham's heart was big enough for both children, Sarah had room only for one, the right one, her one. Abraham saw Sarah's request for what it was, that he was being asked to do something horrific to the son that he loved, a son who had received the sign of God's blessing through circumcision. And in the midst of his despair, God speaks to Abraham, assuring him not to fear, for this son too would become the seed of a great nation. Sarah's desire for certainty would result in separation. The boy from his mother, the mother from their family. It would lead them into a place of death. When certainty is the measure of Christian discipleship, people always do battle over eternal truths. They will separate themselves from those they deem to be less faithful and justify all manner of destructive behavior as necessary and right. The legacy of certainty is endless conflict and deep isolation, because faith always depends upon us doing and saying and believing the right things. Hagar had a different approach. I'd suggest that for her, faith was about connection. When she was sent away, Abraham only gave her a skinful of water and a loaf of bread, with no word of assurance that all would be well. So when the water ran out, she was filled with deep fear. But while Sarah was silent towards God, Hagar cries out in prayer, and God spoke to Hagar once again. "Do not be afraid," God said to Hagar. God's desire for connection would join the lad and his mother together once again. God would bring Ishmael and Hagar out of the shadow of death and into a new place through a promise of blessing and the reality of safety. It's out of God's love that Hagar's eyes were opened so that she could find the well of water that was enough not just to fill the skin for that day, but to ensure their survival in the wilderness. Whenever we approach faith as connection, a different pattern of Christian life begins to emerge, one that is characterized by abundance, even in the middle of scarcity, of healing rather than conflict. When connection is valued, we hear Matthew 10 differently. We see it in its proper context, where Jesus sends his disciples out not to be judgy or critical of the world, but to show and speak of God's love by curing the sick, by raising the dead, by cleansing the unclean, and by setting people free from those forces that would otherwise oppress, isolate, or diminish them. When faith is about connection, we see injustice exposed. The authorities mock Jesus as Beelzebul, the lord of the dung heap, the instrument of Satan. They mock his followers. But instead of making his students feel vulnerable and isolated, Jesus assures them of his love. Do not fear, he tells them. For with love, injustice is always exposed. Do not fear, Jesus would say to them, because you are loved, you are so much more valuable than countless sparrows. Jesus would own everyone who sees themselves as part of his family, no matter how threadbare the bond might seem. When faith is about connection, people find themselves compelled to ask questions, questions that upset everyone. When faith is about connection, love upturns all our loyalties and commitments. It separates people from their past, as symbolized by their parents. It challenges their hopes for the future, as symbolized by children. It proves costly and difficult, but that is the only way to discover and encounter and experience the depth of Christ's love. Paul makes this plain in chapter 6 from the book of Romans, that faith is about connection. Not so much our connection with Christ, but Christ's connection with us. That faith is not about our certainty, so much as it is about Christ's strength and power and love. That Christ's death is powerful and effective. That having died and being raised, death's dominion in this world is broken forever. And because Jesus lives, so too we should live, not out of fear for self-preservation, but for God, to see God's kingdom arrive in this world. Through baptism, we are not so much separated from the world as we are joined together with Christ, that we receive the gift of new life. We are taken into Christ's resurrection, where all the things that weigh us down and separate us from each other, these things are broken forever. We are called instead to live openly, honestly, truthfully, in such a way that we become dead to the powers that seek to dominate and isolate. When faith is only ever about certainty, then conflict and isolation are never far away. But when faith is about connection, no one ever needs to fear. For in Christ, God's power is used to raise dead people back to life. God's love is deep enough to hold us all. To hold even someone like Hagar, an Egyptian slave lost in the wilderness. God's love enables us to discover the source of life, even in the most unlikely places. Amen.